Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome back to Overnight America. This is technically my Friday. And it's also Mike Anderson's technical Friday as we're getting close to it. One more hour and then it's officially Friday. And then we play the official Friday theme song. So a couple of things I want to get to this hour. President Trump has been sued for blocking people on Twitter. I think it's ridiculous myself, but we're going to get to that. And what are the things you could get sued for online? Did you know you could probably get sued for things you do online? Also, a kid could have been a millionaire based on how he was able to hustle other students. And as far as I'm concerned, this kid's a genius. Kid's going to be one of the next big business people in this country. Plus, another weird thing about China. And Bob Ross night sounds like a good time. We're going to get to that. One of those great, great local promotions that go on. Not here, but minor league ballparks, man. They put on some really fun stuff. So have you ever used the Metrolink? Or have you ever seen anyone use it in a really weird way? So a man in Australia, I'm reading this story about their commuter train in the area out there, the public transportation. Do people in Metrolink, do they actually carry large bulk items onto it here in St. Louis? Because this dude has a dolly and he's carting around a full-size fridge. And he decides that he's going to use public transportation on the railway to do it. Could you do that like on Metrolink? If you had, and you're carrying around something the size of a fridge, would you be able to get away with that? Officials said that they had to fine the man $200 for bringing that refrigerator on. Queensland Rail security footage has it online if you wanted to see it. I'd say he does a pretty good job maneuvering around with this thing. And the man wielding the fridge on a dolly from a rail overpass to an elevator and also to the station there. Not the weirdest thing. I was watching a video compilation of people that were putting weird stuff on the train. There was one guy decided to take a full couch. And it was him alone. You know how hard it is to carry a couch alone? I mean, you will break your back. So this guy takes it on, and you know how he decides to maneuver away? It's not like he tries to carry it like he's got a stack of books under his arm or anything like that. It's not like he tries to, you know, have it on his back and just Iron Man it and you hunch over and carry it. The guy does head over feet style, so he just goes on one end, flips it, walks around, flips it again, flips it and flips it. The dude just keeps flipping his couch over and over again. You know how dangerous that is? That's how the guy was getting around. Where was that one? Full-size couch. There's a second incident that was found. Yeah, the full-size couch. They had to put out this warning. Here's the warning. We obviously need to be mindful of other people traveling. Trains are for people. They aren't for fridges and couches, unfortunately. Wow. I sometimes see videos of people sneaking like dogs and stuff. Like, you can't take animals. You're not supposed to, but they say if you can put it in a bag, you can get away with it. You see little dog heads and cat heads sticking out of these bags. They take them on public transportation. I'm not a public transportation kind of guy myself, so I don't think I'll ever find out for myself. I won't be doing any undercover work on Metrolink to find out for myself. I will not. All right, here's another report that came out. This was a federal report that came out. So the most dangerous cars to have based on the percentage that they may get stolen. Maybe I shouldn't say it that way. That's probably the inaccurate way to say it. So here's a rank of the most stolen vehicles. That's a better way to say it. If you own any of these, here are the vehicles that in the nation that were stolen the most. Number one, Honda Accord. 1997 Honda Accord. How in the world? It's in 2017. People are still stealing. No, I take that back. That was the model year stolen. Yeah. Who still steals in the 97 vehicle? Like, if you're going to go out there and steal a car, why would you go for a 97? Am I reading this wrong? So the National Insurance Crime Bureau released a report showing which vehicles were most frequently stolen. Yeah, 97 Honda Accord. Number two, 98 Honda Civic. Man, should I start buying Hondas? Like, the next car I get? Do they keep their value so much that they're worth stealing? Next up was the 2006 Ford pickup, full size. Then the Chevy pickup, 2004. 2016 Toyota Camry. So now we're getting into what would be more realistic. The most recent Camry at number five. Number six, the Nissan Altima, 2015 version. Then goes back to 2001, the Dodge pickup. You got a 15-year-old car and people are stealing those? What kind of crazy world do we live in? And then Toyota Corolla, Chevy Impala, and the Jeep Grand Cherokee, or the Jeep Cherokee. I had a buddy who had his Cherokee stolen. That was a heartbreaking day. It was his first car he ever bought. He kept it forever. And he was just like one road trip away from hitting 300,000 miles on the thing. And he was so looking forward to that milestone. And someone stole his 98 Jeep. This was some time ago. And it was the Jeep, like, we always went on road trips in this Jeep. We always, we'd go out anywhere, travel anywhere, we always took the Jeep. This was like the iconic car of everyone, like all of our friends. In fact, I bought a Jeep because I loved his car so much. And someone stole it before he had the luxury feeling of being the owner of a vehicle that rolls the odometer over to 300,000. Then again, he was always working on the thing. Dude spent every weekend fixing something on it. But I always had good luck with Jeeps. All right, so the following are the top 10 2016 model year stolen during the calendar year. Camry, Altima, Corolla, Charger, Fusion, which is a nice-looking car, by the way, Sonata, Sierra, Elantra, Ford Pickup, and then Ford Transit. That's the big van, right? So if you owned a 2016 in any of those are the top 10 stolen during the last calendar year. I don't think I'd ever be influenced by people wanting to steal my car. Like, if that's not going to influence how I buy vehicles. It's just interesting to look at the numbers on that way. But then again, if your alternate thing is to just go on the Metrolink, then yeah, I'm going to drive a car that looks like it'll be stolen anywhere. President Trump being sued for blocking Twitter users. What are you doing online that could get you sued? Ooh, you know, there's some federal offenses you probably break online. Our laws are screwed up. All right, I'm going to go through a couple of those next. KMOX.
Broadcasting from the KMOX Golden Oak Lending Studios. Golden Oak Lending, with fixed rates now in the twos. Now, more of Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. All right, I'm going to try to set up our producer, Mike Anderson, with potentially admitting to a federal crime that'll put him in jail. So, Mike Anderson, I got a question for you. Do you share any passwords with anyone?
Yes.
You may be committing a federal crime. Did you know that?
I did not.
Well, they consider that hacking. If, like, the terms of service says you're not allowed to share your password, but you actually share it with someone. So it's very common for people to share sometimes email addresses, but things like Netflix or Hulu, like someone has a paid subscription and they let you use their service, that, I'm not asking you what you're using it for, they may, under law, consider you a hacker. That would be a federal crime. You can go to jail for that. Did you know that?
No, that kind of makes me feel cool, though.
Oh, you're so cool, man. What are you in for? Prostitution. What are you in for? Killed a dude. What are you in for? Shared my password. Yeah, you'd be real tough in prison. I think they would sometime, the hacker man, that's what they'd call you in prison. They would leave you alone. Hacker man. Watch out for him, man. He's crazy. So that's one way you may be breaking the law and not even know it. Donald Trump, I saw this on Fox News. Donald Trump is being sued by a free speech group which claims his practice of blocking Twitter users violates the First Amendment. So the suit will come up to him. You can do this on Twitter. So on the website, you log into your account, click, 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 and you're in. And you see someone sends you harassing stuff. They allow you to block that person so you don't see it. It's not that the stuff doesn't go out there. The information's still there unless Twitter, you know, deletes it or takes it down if they see it as a conflict of their terms of service or whatever. But if you have someone that's saying stuff to you that's, you know, really gross or mean or whatever, and you just don't want to deal with that person, you press the block button, and then all of a sudden you don't see their stuff anymore, and they can't see your stuff. You'll see a little thing pop up. It'll say so-and-so's blocked you. In this case, real Donald Trump blocked you. You're blocked from following real Donald Trump and viewing real Donald Trump's tweets. That's what they would saw. That's what they would see. I said, so President Trump's Twitter account, this is what they claim. The suit claims that Trump's blocking users, and what they're doing is being blocked from critical uses of information. And it's a violation of the U.S. Constitution. President Trump's Twitter account has become an important source of news and information about the government, they say, and an important public forum for speech by, to, and about the president, the lawsuit reads. In an effort to suppress dissent in the forum, defendants have excluded, blocked Twitter users who have criticized the president or his policies. This practice is unconstitutional, and this suit seeks to end it. You're crazy. All these people that are suing the president, this is a, I can't wait to see them get shot down in court, and I can't wait to see them cry about it on Twitter, and the president won't see it because you're still blocked. This is insane to me, because the way Twitter works is all you got to do is log out of your account. You can see it still. Like, if you want to go read this, if you think you're missing out on critical information by the president of the United States, you log out of your account, the information's still there. You're not being blocked by your IP address or anything like that. You're just being blocked when you're logged in. It prevents you from sending harassing things. Who knows what you sent to get blocked? Who knows? I don't even care. It could have been something perfectly normal. It could have been something really nasty. I'm not going to do this investigation to find out why these people were blocked. All I know is it's stupid you're suing the president for something like this. And it's one more thing that I use as evidence to say, people, you got to back off. At some point, you got to stop being angry over every stupid little thing. Trump often takes Twitter to discuss public policy. Also listed in this is Sean Spicer, the White House spokesman, and some other people, I guess, the House director of the social media for the president. A federal case number is out there. White House declined to comment. They maybe commented on Twitter, but the person was blocked. So who knows? I don't care. This is so stupid. When I read stories like this, and I think, seriously, if you hate the president so much, and I'm using the word hate because you probably have it in your heart that you hate this guy, there's nothing he can do, nothing he can do to satisfy you. And, I mean, literally, the guy can go out there and turn the country around, and you would still say, oh, but he didn't do anything. You'd still find excuses. And it's so tiresome. And it's the reason why I still defend the guy, because I get upset over the things he does. I don't like the way he conducts himself. I don't like the way he's said things in the past. I don't like the stances he takes on some things. But I'm still going to defend the guy, mostly because, one, I think that when it comes to policy's sake, he's going to be doing good things, and he is doing good things. And number two, I want to see these things succeed. I think the things he laid out will help this country. So I'm going to defend the guy, and I'm not going to jump on his back every time there's something stupid. Oh, someone blocked me. Go back to high school if that's the way you feel about it. It's like this high school bickering junk, and it drives me up. And this is also why you find on social media, people don't listen to you. If all you do is go on social media and you act like this is the high school drama channel, people ignore you. You act like no one listens to you. Maybe it's because you do stupid stuff like this. All right. Here's a couple other things. So that's just one thing. I thought that was stupid. But there's some things I've read doing some research. Things that could get you arrested on social media. Oh, let's see if I can find that real quick. Here's one. If you are someone that is a stock market trader, apparently you can get arrested just for Googling insider trading. I don't know why you'd Google that. That makes you look bad. But it is something that could get you in trouble. But why is the act of just searching something, how can that be criminal online? If it's insider trading, by definition, you're not conducting it if you're searching it, right? For some reason, that's the way they feel about it. What was the other stuff? There was one other thing. Let me see if I can find this. Oh, yeah. People that go online and they leave negative reviews for businesses. I've read stories about that, too. I don't know where my story went, but I read stories where if you go and you leave a negative review of a business has they get upset about that. It may be a true feeling that you had going into the business, but if a business doesn't like it, they'll say, hey, you're hurting my business with this review online. I'm going to sue you because I feel that you are hurting me. There's monetary damages. People read that. They don't go to our store. They don't eat at our restaurant. Now I can say there's a monetary whatever. This is what I feel. You know, some businesses, get it. They realize that there's ways you can combat negative reviews online, mostly by just addressing them and saying, hey, we're sorry you had a bad experience. Email so-and-so, and we'll see what we can do. And a lot of times, the negative reviews go away because all the person wants to do is be heard. And businesses can learn from that. Others try to fight it head-on and probably lose. So it's not a winning game when you take your fight to the internet. Not a winning game for businesses. But, you know, think of it that way. There was one instance in Michigan. A guy got his car towed, and he was very upset with the way his car was handled. He thought that he shouldn't have been towed. He was in an area that wasn't marked correctly, so he sounded off about it on this. And guess what? The towing company sued this kid for like $150,000, something crazy like that. They talked to law professors up in the area. I think it was like Grand Rapids area, and they talked to law professors up there. Kid was in college, of course, goes to the law building and say, I want to talk to someone who can help me with this. And the people roughly said the same thing, which was they feel like if the company puts out a big lawsuit, it'll scare people away from leaving negative reviews. Well, guess what happened to that company? Flooded with negative reviews, backfired big time on them, and rightfully so. If you're going to put up these lawsuits that are frivolous, you better be prepared to reap what you sow here, which is going to be a lot of frivolous, poor reviews. And it's going to reflect on your company. You got to be very careful on things like this. It's insane to me that someone could sue you based on giving a review that could be 100% truthful. You know, people see things from a different point of view. You know, a server comes and does something. One person sees it negatively. The server might not know they've done anything wrong, or they could have been busy, or they didn't know the person needed it, or whatever. And some people just can't be satisfied. I understand that too. Businesses. Let me give you a little tip. Easiest thing you can do. All you do is message the person that gave the negative review. Say, here's an email address. Email us. Tell us what we could do to make it better. And you take that conversation offline. Don't have the conversation online where everyone can read it. Take it offline and then move on. And do your best to get positive reviews. That's the best thing you can do. I want to talk to you about a kid that I think one day is going to be a millionaire really, really soon. Also, a story out of China. And Jesse Jackson, this is kind of an interesting thing. I saw a video of Jesse Jackson talking about this election. I understood roughly 30% of the words coming out of his mouth. I'm going to play that for you, and I want you to tell me if you can understand what he's saying. That's coming up on KMOX.
Budweiser and KMOX present the Llewellyn Stumble. Enjoy food and drink specials and Budweiser giveaways, the ball game, and make sure you register to win a trip to Kansas City to each watch party. The next one is Tuesday, July 18th at the Llewellyn's in St. Charles. Winners will receive a round-trip Amtrak ticket to KC for a pregame party at Llewellyn's Pub, Lee Summit. Take in a ball game and stay overnight at a Drury Inn and Suites. Get more details at KMOX.com/watch. Presented by Visit KC. Llewellyn's Pub, Drury Hotels, and New Bowl Toyota. News Radio 1120 KMOX. St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. Depend on it.
Olé, 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 olé. Olé, 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 olé.
That's right. Hot, hot, hot. Thanks, Mike Anderson. This is me every time I sit down in my car after getting in it. Hot, hot, hot. Now, this song has become like a cultural thing. Like, everyone knows this song, right? Used in all kinds of ads. I remember, like, local car dealers would use this, talking about their deals being hot. Does any single person know who did this song listening right now without looking it up? Is there one person listening right now that actually, besides Ron, who drives cab around here, who knows everything, is there one person listening that actually knows the name of this band? There's nothing to that song. There is nothing to that song. Well, it's very noisy. Mike, you didn't know that song. You had to look it up by the title, right? You didn't know the artist before you pulled that in. You looked it up on title. Yeah, no one knows the artist. I don't even know if that is considered a hit. Was that actually on the radio, or did advertisers just pick it up? They realized it was a way to put it in their ad and get people to pay attention. Why do people like that song? Is there one person that says, oh, yeah, that's on my workout mix. I like to listen to that when I work out. one does that. That's on Mike Anderson's workout mix. Yeah, no one knows who that is. There's the young entrepreneur I want to tell you about. He's 15 years old, and he basically turned his school into his sweets empire. At 15 years old, here's a picture of him. Guy's wearing like a $1,000 suit. I mean, he is walking fancy right now with some clothes. His shoes are shined. He's got a nice haircut. He's got the tie. He's doing that thing where, you know, you play with the buttons on your suit like you're pretending to button it. You're not buttoning it. You're unbuttoning whatever it is when you're kind of fidgeting with your suit. He's outside of his high school, 15 years old, and he found a way to make money at school. So he is called the Wolf of Walthamstow. I guess that's the name of his high school. I don't know. It's in London. But he sold products basically at a discount rate to the other high school students. So he would go buy this stuff, right? He would go to like buy it in bulk candy. He'd get like Snickers, Kit Kats, Reese's Pieces, all the things that the kids love. Never Twizzlers. There's no kid that ever wanted a Twizzler. No kids like Twizzlers. So, yeah, especially the black licorice. I've never met anyone that's like black licorice. You do not like black licorice, Mike Anderson. Can't believe you. You're not American. Go back to England or whatever. Yeah, you're launching off your fireworks, shooting them off, eating your black licorice. So this kid comes up with the idea. The prices for this candy in the vending machines are outrageous at the high school. Why pay $1.50 when I can sell it for 50 cents by buying them at the bulk or whatever? So he gets an idea. All right. And the start of the day, he'll post up photos on Instagram or Facebook or Snapchat, whatever it is. He'll give his menu and his prices, always cheaper than what the school was selling it. He was undercutting the school. And the kids would start messaging him back. Hey, I want a Snicker. Hey, I want this bag of Cheetos. Hey, I want this. I want that. The kid was putting in $300 a day in candy. That's how much business he had. He had so much business, he had employees. No joke, he paid other high school students to help sell his candy because he was spending too much time selling it himself. $300 a day, that equates to $56,000 a year. This 15-year-old created his own business, $56,000 a year. Unfortunately, the school figured out what he was doing and shut down the operation. At the time, let's see, how much did he make at the time? He didn't really make $56,000. He was on track to do that if he kept up with $300 a day. But apparently he made several thousand dollars he stashed away for his next venture. If I were this kid, man, I know exactly what I'm doing the rest of my life. I am marking up candy and selling them to kids. Is this how the, if you get a van that drives around with that candy song or whatever, the ice cream truck, is this how it all starts? Like the next great ice cream truck guy is going to start have a fleet of ice cream trucks selling frozen candy and stuff. So Nathan's mother, extremely proud of her son's spirit, says that she is mostly just happy that he's not selling drugs. Oh, boy. You know, this mother probably went to the school board and said, hey, it's Snickers, not meth. Let my kids sell. You know, this kid's probably making more money than his parents selling candy at school. Of course, he's going to be dressed in a suit. They dress him up here. I wonder what a 15-year-old with that much money spends it on. I wonder. He better not be driving to St. Louis. We're going to see his mugshot pop up here pretty soon. What does a man with that much money spend it on? 15 years old, next venture. Is he investing in the stock market? He's talking to his high school teachers about the latest stock trends. Who do you invest in? Oh, boy. This is so much different in London. There's another story out of China. This really upset me when I read this. So apparently in China, they're installing facial recognition cameras in bathroom stalls. That sounds pretty intrusive, doesn't it? You want to know why they're doing it? Apparently, the government, they're so upset with how much money they're spending on toilet paper, they hired someone to create software to recognize your face to make sure you're not using too much. So what it'll do is this camera apparently watches you use the stall, use the bathroom. When you're done, scans your face, stores it, and it spits out the appropriate amount of toilet paper it thinks you need. Exactly 27 and a half inches of toilet paper, the max allowed by the machine. 27 inches of toilet paper? How much is that? I don't know. I don't want to get gross. Is that, that seems like a lot, doesn't it? How much toilet paper do people normally use? I should go measure what 27 and a half inches looks like in toilet paper. But they spit it out and that's it. If you need more, you're out of luck. You have to wait 9 minutes and then you can redo it again. And then it tracks you and logs you again. That is so weird. Don't people in China feel like that's a little intrusive? Well, then again, if you're going to rely on the government to provide everything for you, they can do stupid stuff like this, all right? Don't allow that stuff to happen here in the United States. I'm so glad we have privacy laws, and I think we need to be very careful with the way technology is used to intrude on our privacy. All right, I got another story I want to do for you. We'll do it right after the break. I was looking earlier on, and Jesse Jackson was at a rally or something, an annual caucus. Oh, the Rainbow Push Coalition Caucus, of course. So Jesse Jackson was out there, had some things to say about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Problem was, I couldn't understand a word he was saying. I had to read the transcript. I'm going to play it for you. I want you to see if you can understand what he's saying. Sorry to rip off Tim Conway Jr., but I want you to hear this coming up on Camo X.
Get the latest from the Cardinals from manager Mike Matheny on the Safeha GM Country Mike Matheny Show. Sundays at 10:15, exclusively on your home for best Cardinals coverage. KMOX.
I know this is going to sound stupid, but I'm going to play an audio clip from Jesse Jackson, and I want you to tell me if you can understand what he's saying. And I do this in a way to honor the great Tim Conway Jr., who does this as a regular bit on his radio show in Los Angeles, but it's one of the great radio bits ever. If you want to play along, you can just listen on the radio, or you can actually call in, because I want to see if you can guess what Jesse Jackson is saying. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I only have one clip for you, mostly because it was the one that was in the news, and when I heard this, I immediately thought of the bit they do out there in L.A., and I said, I got to play this because I couldn't understand half the words coming out of his mouth. The Reverend Jesse Jackson today was talking at, where was he? It says the presidential nominee Hillary Clinton really won the election against President Donald Trump. Saying that it was stolen. The whole election was stolen. Okay, so he was making remarks during a labor breakfast, the annual conference of his organization, the Rainbow Push Coalition. It happened in Chicago earlier today. People may be listening in Chicago right now. The beauty of Camo X is the signal gets all over. You can be, and I have a friend that I used to live with that lives now in Akron. He listens sometimes in Akron. How awesome is that? I mean, the signal at Camo X is everywhere. So Jesse Jackson may be listening right now. Probably not, but maybe. And here is what he said. I want to see if you can understand any word coming out of his mouth right now. Mike Anderson, listen very carefully, okay?
To have a head of our party who is sensitive to the plight of working people is the order of this day.
All right. What did he say? This is the start of it so far. Can you repeat any of that, Mike Anderson?
I have a...
That's all you can understand?
That's all I got.
All right.
Party after that.
Okay, here's what he said. If anyone wants to guess what he said, you can call in, all right? Call in and guess. All right, let me continue.
Don't forget, when you lose, you tend to amplify woulda, coulda, shoulda. When you win, you cover up your sins.
I understood the first part. I don't know what he said at the end. When you win, jumba-dumba-duh. I didn't understand what he said. Okay, anything you understood there?
Yeah, I think I got the whole thing.
What did he say at the end? Go ahead. What do you think?
When you win, you cover up your sins?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, let's continue.
Don't let them in to fool you. We worked last year. We won the election. It was stolen.
All right, do you understand what he said there?
Yeah.
You do? Okay. So now the big contention is the first part of what he said here.
To have a head of our party who is sensitive to the plight of working people is the order of this day.
Okay, did you listen to it for a second time? Can you tell what he's saying?
I have a head of our party who is sensitive to something about the working people.
Yes, here's the line. All right, I'm gonna play it one more time. Listen.
To have a head of our party who is sensitive to the plight of working people is the order of this day.
To have the head of our party who is sensitive to the plight of working people is the order of this day. What does that mean? It doesn't even make sense when you read the transcript. And he's up there. Why do people still listen to this guy? So he went on to talk about JFK, Nixon, Carter, Ford, Clinton, Barack Obama. If any of them had to face the impact of Russian interference in such a bold way, the foolishness of the Electoral College and the interference of the FBI, none of them. Hillary won in spite of having a 3 million vote lead. We're still not going to let anybody break up our spirit. Hillary didn't. I hate to break it to you. Hillary's not in the White House. You want to know why? Because she didn't win. Very simple as that. She didn't win. The dream and the fantasy of Jesse Jackson and anyone that was there that was cheering him on, or the people that may sympathize and think that that's not my president. Number one, if you're a U.S. citizen, yes, that is your president. Number two, if you live in a fantasy world where you think that Hillary Clinton is the president of the United States, you are wrong. There is no way around that to look at the truth in that. She's not the president because she didn't win. Keep that in mind. Jesse Jackson. It's so hard to understand him in these things. Even reading the transcript, I thought. Real quick before we go to break, let's go to Jerome. Jerome, were you able to listen to Jesse there?
I was able to translate a few of the words, like the plight of the working people and some other stuff. But
it was hard, wasn't it?
It was for him being such a notarized speaker and stuff. He really does not enunciate properly.
He's never in his career has he been known for that. It's not like there was a time when he was a great speaker. He's always been difficult to understand.
How do you buy with it? That's like Sarah Jessica Parker. She was like a fashion icon. She had a face like a horse or a foot, whatever you want to say. But she's very notorious for beautiful clothes and stuff. And you got Jesse Jackson, who's couldn't speak his way out of a parking ticket, and
I like that, Jerome. Hey, thank you. Good to hear from you, man. All the way from Illinois. Yeah, that's funny. Speak your way out of a parking ticket. Can anyone speak their way out of a parking ticket? Is that a thing? I don't know if anyone's like, once the ticket's written, it's like, it's in, man. All right, so thank you, Jesse Jackson. Got a nice laugh out of that. Now I know. Your fantasy world, man. You have not only built a house in fantasy land, you've already put the pool in, you've changed the colors and the drapes. You are like fully committed to this fantasy world. Coming up, it is so close to the weekend. I get it now. And I want to talk to you about Whoopi Goldberg, man. She is all over the board, but she might be right on something. It hurts me to say it. KMOX.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.